You're listening to Business English Pod, the Business English podcast for professionals on the move. Hello, and welcome back again to Business English Pod. Today is the second in our two-part series on strategically using a vague style. Last time, we covered being vague to make a polite excuse or to avoid sounding arrogant. We also saw how you can use vague language to create flexibility. Today, you'll work on referring to vague numbers and learn language you can use when you don't remember the name of someone or something. You'll also practice some more strategic uses of vague language, such as avoiding socially inappropriate or impolite topics. We'll be listening again to the dialogue from last time. This is a chance to test your memory and review some of the things you learned. Also, as you listen, try to answer the following questions. As usual, the answers will be posted on the website in a few days. First, why doesn't Mike want to come to the party if Tracy is there? And second, when should Mike show up at the party?
Hey, what are you doing after work? Want to meet up for a coffee?
Actually, I'm sort of busy for the next few days or so.
Well, how about the weekend? I'm having a party on Saturday.
Really?
Yeah, you should come over. You don't get out enough.
Well, it's tempting.
But I should warn you, I have an ulterior motive. You're an expert on computers, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess I know a thing or two about computers.
I've been having serious problems with viruses and stuff like that. My browser has been hijacked. I think I have tons of those
spy bots. No worries. Should be a piece of cake. I can fix you up in no time.
So you're coming over? Great. It's going to be a blast.
Wait a sec. I'm not coming if what's-her-name is going to be there. From accounts?
Oh, you mean Tracy. What's wrong with her?
It's hard to say. I just think she's sort of annoying, that's all.
That's right. You two kind of had a thing, didn't you?
I suppose you could call it that.
Don't worry about it. You don't have to talk to her if you don't want to. Besides, you'll be busy fixing my computer.
Yeah, I guess so. So when should I show up?
Oh, I'd say anytime after about 4-ish.
Do I need to bring anything?
Nothing but your antivirus software. Just kidding. Actually, a salad or something like that would be nice.
Great. So I'll see you around 4.
Where we left off last time, we'd just seen how Mike says, "I guess I know a thing or two about computers," to avoid sounding arrogant. This is Jen's chance to tell him what's wrong with her computer. She's got a lot of problems. Did you catch them all? For one thing, she has viruses. Also, her browser has been hijacked. For a definition of these common internet terms, check out the study notes for this episode. There's also one more problem with her computer. What is it?
I think I have tons of those
spy bots. No worries. Should be a piece of cake. I can fix you up in no time.
So you're coming over? Great. It's going to be a blast.
Wait a sec.
Let's first go through the idioms used here, and then talk about the use of whatchamacallit. A piece of cake is an idiom meaning something is easy. To be a blast, or to have a blast, means to be or have a very good time. Jen says she has tons of those spy whatchamacallits. Tons of is another way to refer vaguely to a large number. You can also say masses of or oodles of. Whatchamacallit is a placeholder or place filler. You can use it to fill the place when you don't remember how to say something. As you might have guessed, it comes from what you may call it. Other words you can use as placeholders are what's it, thingamabob, and thingamajig. For people, you can use what's his name and what's her name. These are great words to know when you forget the name of someone or something in English. Listen to a couple more examples.
All right, just push the orange button on the thingamajig there, and the power should come on.
You mean the remote control?
Yeah, that's the one.
Hey, Pat, could you please bring me a few of those thingamabobs from the desk over there? The little silver ones.
Paper clips, right? Here you are.
The next part of the dialogue provides a good example of what's-her-name. Listen.
Wait a sec. I'm not coming if what's-her-name is going to be there. From accounts?
Oh, you mean Tracy. What's wrong with her?
Did Mike really forget Tracy's name? Probably not. In this case, Mike is strategically using what's-her-name to make it seem as though Tracy is not important to him. Let's continue listening. Jen has just asked, what's wrong with her?
It's hard to say. I just think she's sort of annoying, that's all.
That's right. You two kind of had a thing, didn't you?
I suppose you could call it that.
First, notice that they both use sort of and kind of. Mike says, she's sort of annoying. And Jen says, you two kind of had a thing, didn't you? What do you think Jen means by sort of had a thing? It sounds like a failed romance of some sort, doesn't it? To have usually goes together with to have a relationship or to have an affair, a relationship outside of marriage. But Jen uses the vague word thing to avoid the direct mention of any sensitive words. Mike's reply doesn't really give Jen any information either, does it? He says, I guess you could call it that, using the hypothetical modal could. He means you could call it that, or you could call it something else as well. Listen to more ways that past modal verbs can be used to make vague statements.
You might have a point there.
That would be one way of looking at it.
If you wanted to, you could look at it that way.
All in all, it's very interesting to observe how Mike and Jen use vague language and phrases to talk about Tracy without ever really saying anything clear or definite. Using vague language to avoid socially inappropriate topics is a high-level skill that's helpful in many parts of life. Let's keep going through the dialogue. When does Jen want Mike to show up at the party?
Oh, I'd say anytime after about 4-ish.
Adding ish to a time or another number makes it approximate or not exact. To refer vaguely to a number, use the following structure. First, you can say roundabout or about or approximately. Then say the number. For times and some other numbers, you can add ish. Finally, you can add or so, or more, or a bit later, etc. Another way to refer to a vague number is to say something like 5 or 6, 10 or 12, 30 or 40, and so on. Listen to a few examples of these.
We'll need to bring over a few samples, maybe 6 or 7 or so.
I think the prime lending rate is going to go up by approximately 1.5% or more in 2007, so we should be prepared.
Why don't you come over around 7-ish or a bit later?
We expect to have round about 30 or 40 people here this evening.
She's got about a dozen new recruits or so in her division.
Vaguely referring to numbers is a big topic, which we have just barely begun discussing today. Something we can talk about in the future is how to use vague language to present figures and statistics more persuasively. There is just one last part in the dialogue to cover before we finish today. What does Jen say when Mike asks if he should bring anything to the party?
Nothing but your antivirus software. Just kidding. Actually, a salad or something like that would be nice.
Or something like that helps you refer to a vague category. In this case, it refers to the category of salad and things like salad. Jen's vaguely referring to this category allows Mike to be very flexible in what he decides to bring. This is an example of using vague language to give someone flexibility in how to act. Other ways to refer to a vague category include, and stuff like that, or stuff like that, and things, and stuff, and whatnot. These types of phrases are often called list completers because they complete a list. You can also say, or whatever, or whoever, or wherever. For example, bring a salad or whatever to the party. Referring to a vague category like this can be very useful. Let's listen to a couple of examples. Again, sometimes you don't know the name of a category, or there's not a clear name for a category.
I don't think it's such a big problem.
Still, you should take it seriously. I think you should really talk to a police officer or a lawyer or someone like that.
At other times, you want to give somebody flexibility in how to interpret your statement. Perhaps you need to ask your boss for a meeting, but you know he's very busy.
Could we sort of meet with each other or something next week? Because there are some questions I might want to ask.
Yeah, I think we can arrange something like that.
Or perhaps you're a guest at someone's house and you want to be polite.
So, you want some wine?
Or water or something. Anything will do.
Can you think of any other situations where referring to a vague category might be useful? I'm sure all of you can. For one thing, since vague language often sounds informal, using it can be a way of striking a casual or friendly tone. All right, now it's time to practice again. Imagine that Jen has invited you over on Saturday. She'll ask what time you want to come. Reply with a vague time using roundabout and ish. Then, after she replies, don't forget to ask her if you should bring anything. Use or something like that. For example, should I bring some wine or something like that? Are you ready?
So, what time is best for you? Anytime after 1 p.m. works for me. I'll make dinner for you. That works fine. Yeah, or whatever. The important thing is that you bring yourself.
Now, let's listen to an example answer.
So, what time is best for you? Anytime after 1 p.m. works for me. I'll make dinner for you.
Great. I was thinking round about 5-ish or so.
That works fine.
Should I bring some wine or something?
Yeah, or whatever. The important thing is that you bring yourself.
How was it? To practice speed and fluency, you should rewind and try it again. Try substituting different language. That is, use different phrases to accomplish the same thing. And, as a further practice exercise, try and write dialogues of your own based on strategic uses of vague language that you observe in daily life. And that about covers today's show. You've learned many different types of vague language, including placeholders, numbers, and categories. You also worked on some strategic uses, such as avoiding socially inappropriate topics and giving people flexibility. All in all, over the last two shows, we've seen how vague language can be used in many situations to create flexibility in action and interpretation. It's important to emphasize that vague language is only one of many styles that should be part of your total communicative repertoire or toolbox. From your knowledge of the cultures, people, and situations that you're dealing with, you'll have to decide for yourself when it's appropriate to be vague. In future episodes, we'll be covering other styles of speaking. In the meantime, keep practicing and take care. Do remember to visit our website and check out the learner's notes for this and other episodes. There, you'll find additional definitions, exercises, strategies, and a full transcript of the show. Thanks for listening, and see you again soon. Want to get more out of Business English Pod? Then go to www.businessenglishpod.com and sign up as a premium member. Premium members can access detailed study notes and the new phrase cast to practice all the useful language we featured today.